Today's teaching by Pastor Miles Welch is entitled, Always Pray, Never Give Up. This is the third teaching in the series, Dinner with Jesus. To receive additional copies of this message or to receive any past teachings, please contact 12 Stone Church at 678-990-8100 or visit us on the web at 12stone.com.
All right, welcome to 12 Stone Church. You guys excited to be here? That's right. All right, we are in a series called Dinner with Jesus. Today we're going to dive into a teaching that Jesus delivered to his disciples around a dinner table about prayer. So today's message is on prayer. And before we dive into the teaching, though, I want to fulfill my duty. I want to have a little bit of fun. Because there's kind of a rule that if you're going to teach on prayer, then at some point in the sermon, you have to deliver a list of adorable, humorous children's prayers. Have you noticed that? It's kind of out there in the prayer world. So I have my list. I have five. Do you guys want to hear them? All right. Number one, dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Number two, dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. Number three, dear God, I love Christmas and Easter. Could you please put another holiday in the middle? There's nothing good in there right now. Number four, dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I grow up, but without so much hair all over. Number five, my favorite, dear God, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time just like I am. I think I'd like that kid. All right, we got that out of the way. Now, I'm going to give you the teaching off the top. It revolves around two statements that I believe have power to unlock for you new possibilities in very practical arenas of your life, in things like marriage and family, career and finance, character and faith. You know that God wants to do things in your lives that seem impossible. And you rise up and you do these things by prayer. So I got two statements. Let me give you the first one. It's actually the fill in the blank across the top fill in the blank. When you pray, anything is possible. When you pray, anything is possible. Say it with me. When you pray, anything is possible. Pretty good. Let's do it again. When you pray, anything is possible. Now lean over to your neighbor and say this. Anything means anything. That's right. Good job. Listen, anything is the most wide open word in the English language. It has infinite possibilities. It literally means anything. And prayer has the same infinite possibilities. When you pray, anything is possible. That's the first statement. And my daughters have put these statements to the test over the years. My oldest daughter, Megan, she's 16 years old now. When she was 4 years old, my wife was tucking her into bed. And Megan asked my wife, how do you know that God is real? And my wife said back, well, when you pray, he answers your prayers. My daughter instantly replied, God, please send me a butterfly tomorrow. And my wife left the room, and she told me about the conversation, and she told me about the butterfly. And I looked at my wife, and I'm like, why do you say things like that? That's not going to happen, right? That's impossible. You know that, right? I mean, if I had a butterfly net, I would have been out running around at night trying to rescue God by, you know, because he's got to come through with this thing. Well, the next day I get a phone call at noon from my daughter. She says, Dad, you'll never guess what happened. God sent me a butterfly. She was all excited. And I said, honey, put your mom on the phone. You know, I want to know what happened. She's 4 years old, so who knows what she really means, right? So she puts my wife on the phone, and I said, Jen, what happened? She said, you won't believe it. We went to the park, and as soon as we got off the parking lot onto the grass, a butterfly came up and started flying around here. She said, Miles, the butterfly has been with us over an hour. She said, Megan held out her hand, and the butterfly landed on her hand. Isn't that God good? See, when you pray, and I'll tell you, when you pray, anything is possible. What I learned is never tell God what he can't do, right? What he's not going to do. Be careful what you call impossible. That's what I learned. My youngest daughter has got in on the act. She's 14. Her name is Morgan. When she was 8 years old, she wanted to take communion. She had been reading in her Bible. My kids do devotions at night. She was reading in her Bible, and she came upon the passages about communion, the bread and the wine, and she decided she wanted to take it. So she came and she asked my wife and I if she could, and we said no. We felt like she was a little too young, so we said no. Well, she got mad, and she said, I'm going to pray, and we'll see what God does, which is like, you know, if your kid is going to rebel, right, that's the best rebellion. I'm going to pray that I can take communion. That's her big rebellion. Sure enough, that Sunday, we're on vacation. We go to a different church, and we drop her off in children's ministry. We go off to the adult service, and we come back to pick her up, and she walks out of the children's room with a giant grin on her face and a tiny little cup in her hand. And I said, honey, what happened? She said, you said no, but God said yes. Here you go. And she handed me the cup. Little punk, right? See, when you pray, anything is possible. God would even send a butterfly to convince a little girl that he's real. God would even send us to the one church in all of America that does communion in the children's ministry. Why would you do? Anyways, I could go on about that. I can't. When you pray, anything is possible. That's the first statement. And it leads to the second statement, which is actually the title of the teaching for the day. So always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. Say it with me. Always pray and never give up. See, these two statements go together. Because if you are convinced that when you pray, anything is possible, then you will always pray and you will never give up. And this is important because God wants to do things in our lives that seem impossible. He wants to do things in our marriage and in our families and in our career and finance and our character and our faith that seem impossible. And we could just take marriage. Doesn't sometimes marriage seem impossible? Would anyone dare to say that? Marriage just, sometimes my marriage, it seems impossible. No one's going to, oh, a few of us. Yeah, that's right. All right, the brave souls at 11 o'clock service. Good for you. Yeah, marriage, listen, marriage shouldn't work. It's crazy that this thing's ever going to work. Women and men are not the same. Have you noticed that? Women are so complex. And men are so not. We're very simple. We know this. I've been actually studying this. You know that women can experience over 30 emotions at the same time. Like at the same time. That's complex. Men did not know there were 30 emotions till I just said so right now. Men only ever experience three emotions. And the first one is I'm hungry. Right? And the second one is I want to have sex. And the third one is I'm angry because I'm hungry and I want to have sex. This is all men ever feel. I just helped us, didn't I? I just did just a little pause in the prayer talk to have a little marriage conference. There you go. You're welcome. Listen, marriage should not work. It's crazy. It should never happen. And you could go around to every arena of your life, parenting, career, finances, and say the same thing. This is impossible. And it's right here where things are impossible that this teaching matters. Because God wants to do things in our lives that seem impossible. And we rise up to do those things by prayer. See, when you pray, anything is possible. So always pray. Never give up. These statements form the foundation of the teaching that Jesus was delivering to his disciples at the Last Supper, the night before he was crucified. We're all very familiar, at least most of us are, with the Last Supper. It's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most of us are familiar with the Matthew, Mark, and Luke version of the story because it focuses on communion. It's what we've normally heard. I want to talk about the Gospel of John and how he records it because he records the conversation that they have there at the table. Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples about how they're going to live after he leaves. And it's an extended version of Scripture. It starts in John chapter 13, and it goes through 14, 15, and 16. I mean, it's an extended portion of Scripture. This is the context where we get our teaching on prayer. And it's important that we know this because the other instructions Jesus gave must have seemed impossible. And his thoughts on prayer only make sense if you know that. The other instructions must have sounded impossible. Just listen in. We don't have time to go through it all. Listen in to just some of the instructions that Jesus says to his disciples. After I leave, he says, you guys are going to love one another the way that I have loved you. That's what I want for you. And I think the disciples would have been sitting there going, yeah, have you met us? Like, I don't think that's going to happen. Not likely. And then he said, you're going to have peace in the midst of great chaos. You're going to be persecuted. And you're going to be fearless in the face of persecution. The whole world is going to turn against you because of the name of Jesus. But you're still going to lead people to bow before that name. And if you're not convinced that it must have sounded impossible, he says this to them. You will do greater things than even I have done. And I think the disciples were sitting there looking at each other going, that's not going to happen. That must have sounded impossible. It's in this context that Jesus delivers his thoughts on prayer. Prayer is how we rise up to do the things that seem impossible. Open your Bibles, would you, to John chapter 14, verse 14. Let's look at what Jesus had to say. In your Worship Center Bible, it's page 1081. If you don't have a Bible, there's one under your seat. Feel free to make it your own. It'll be page 1081 in that Bible. John chapter 14, verse 14. What Jesus had to say about prayer. He said, you may ask me for anything. You catch that word again? Anything. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. When you pray, anything is possible. Always pray, never give up. That's what he's telling them. And listen, and Jesus rehearses similar statements all throughout the conversation. Don't turn there, just listen in. Still in John 14, I will do whatever you ask in my name. John chapter 15, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. John 16, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Ask and you will receive. And finally, in that day, you will ask in my name. Six times he says this. It's like he's wanting to make sure they get it. Yes, what I'm asking you to do sounds impossible. But I'm also giving you prayer. And when you pray, anything is possible. So always pray and never give up. That's what Jesus was telling them at the table. As a matter of fact, I think if Jesus had a whiteboard, Jesus would have said it something like this. He would have gone to the whiteboard and he would have written perhaps something like this. I know what I'm saying sounds impossible, but when you pray, anything is possible. As a matter of fact, you never know what God is going to do. You never know. So always pray and never give up. Now, I think we need to pause here because some people get caught up and make some mistakes about prayer and their perception of prayer. with this whole, you can ask God for anything and he will give it to you. Because it sounds like God is saying that he has to do whatever we ask. Like the leverage is with us. Like somehow God has positioned himself to where he is bowing to what we want. And I've heard people talk like that. And I just want to point out, that's not how it is at all. Prayer is not a transaction by which God bows to us. God is not a Coke machine that you push a button and out comes what you want. Prayer is part of a relationship where we bow to him. See, the men that Jesus were talking to were the disciples. It was the inner circle. They had already left everything to follow Jesus. They were already bowing to him. They had already left everything to chase the life that God had for them. And prayer for them was giving voice to desire, the desire for what God wanted for them anyways. And so prayer is not a transaction by which God bows to us. It's part of a relationship with us bowing to him. And the other thing I think would be worth pointing out is that the power is not in prayer and it's not in us. The power is in God. But when we pray, we get access to his power. With God, anything is possible. So when we pray, we get to tap into that statement. So when we pray, anything is possible. Does that make sense to you guys? All right, I need to say that because sometimes people get tripped up. I think Jesus would have gone on in the whiteboard and I think he would have said something like this. Be careful what you call impossible. Be careful what you call impossible. Because when you call something impossible, you begin to tell yourself it will never happen. And when you tell yourself that something will never happen, guess what you do? You give up. And he wants us to always pray and never give up. Sometimes we just give up too early. There's a great example of this in the 2013 NBA Finals that were just played a couple months back. How many of you are fans of the NBA or fans of basketball? Quite a few of you, that's right. Listen, you don't have to be a fan of basketball or the NBA to appreciate a classic. And this year, the NBA Finals was a classic. Miami Heat versus the San Antonio Spurs. It went all seven games. The Heat won. But I want to talk about game six. Because game six, the Heat were down in the series. The Heat were down in the game. And it was getting to the end of the game. And the home crowd Heat fans started to give up and leave. And then the Heat rose up. And those fans wanted to get back into the stadium and they couldn't. They were locked out. And it became such a big deal that it actually made the news. As a matter of fact, let's listen in to a news clip of what it looks like when people give up too soon.
That's right. LeBron James last night said that Game 6 was by far the best game that he's been a part of. But a large number of unfaithful Miami Heat fans, well, they didn't even see the end of it because they walked out of the arena prematurely. They thought their season was over. Take a listen to what they had to say outside.
It wasn't our year. It's okay. They tried.
It wasn't our year.
Devastated fans streamed out of the AAA only to learn moments later that their home team had forced overtime. Perhaps they've learned their lesson. Never lose hope in your home team. It quickly got ugly outside. Fans were begging to get back inside, but because of the arena's strict no re-entry policy, security would not allow them back inside. They found themselves banging on those glass doors and trying to view the game on the TV screens in the Heat store. Now, last night, there were clearly two types of fans. We spoke to both outside.
I can't believe they lost. That's the only thing I'm thinking right now. They were all so close.
When they're under pressure, they normally rise to the occasion, but tonight it just didn't happen. It saddens me.
They were down a little bit, but we showed resilience and we brought it back. Can't wait for game seven.
Game seven! We're going to win this! Yeah! Thursday!
Why did I walk out?
I like that last guy. Why did I walk out? Well, it's because you gave up too soon, right? You said it was impossible for them to come back, and so you started telling yourself it was never going to happen. And so you gave up too soon, and you walked out, and you missed out on one of the greatest comebacks in the history of the NBA Finals, capped off by a three-point clutch shot by Ray Allen to tie the game and send it into overtime. Let's take a look at what they missed out on.
Should the Spurs foul? Should Miami go for the three right away? Just attack the basket. James catches, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound Bosch. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining. Spurs do not have a timeout.
They had tickets for the game, and they had to watch it on a TV. Be careful what you call impossible. Because when you start telling yourself it's never going to happen, you give up. And oftentimes, we give up too soon. This is what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples there at the table. Always pray, never give up. You never know what God is going to do. When you pray, anything is possible. So be careful what you call impossible. You guys get it? The disciples got it. They actually embraced this teaching. They implied it, and it changed everything for them. You read about it in the book of Acts. Luke writes about this. They actually start the early church. And guess what? They love each other the way that Jesus loved them. They are fearless in the face of persecution. They are peaceful in the midst of chaos. The whole world turns against them, but they still see people come to Christ who once hated him, like the Apostle Paul, who was once even persecuting the church, killing Christians, bow to Jesus. They see all of this happen. In the book of Acts, you see that they believed when you pray, anything is possible. And do you know what they did? They always prayed, and they never gave up. This is what this teaching unlocked for the disciples in their day. I wonder what it would unlock in our lives if we embrace this teaching. You know that God wants to do things in your marriage and in your family that seem impossible. You rise up, do these things when you pray. You know, God wants to do things in your career and in your finances that seem impossible. And you rise up and you do these things when you pray. And God wants to do things in your character. God wants to do things in your faith that right now seem impossible. And you rise up, you do these things when you pray. See, the power is not in hearing this stuff. The power is in applying this, is in actually doing it. And when you apply this stuff, I bet you discover that in any area you choose to apply this teaching, always pray, never give up, I bet you will rise. You will watch that rise. It will become more like what God intended for you. So that's the teaching for the day. Do you guys get it? All right. I want to spend the rest of the time talking through three what I'll call tough applications of this teaching. Because if you're really going to embrace this, if you're really going to try to apply this, then you're going to hit these three tough applications. And I want to give extra time to these applications because they're extra difficult. And the first one, and these are the blanks in your notes. The first one is sin. Because some sins seem impossible to overcome. Haven't you found that to be true? That there are just some sins that seem impossible to overcome. And we can talk about a lot of sins. I want to talk about sins of the heart. Things like anger, lust, greed, pride, fear. Those are sins of the heart, and they're hard to overcome. I mean, it's not like theft, right? If your problem is stealing, it's easy to figure out how to overcome that. Just knock it off. But how do you overcome fear, lust, pride? That's a little bit more difficult. Pretty close to impossible. Several years back, I was actually in Bible college. I was walking with some of my friends, at the Bible College. I was walking by Glenn Miller. He's one of the teachers, one of my mentors. I was walking by his office, and as we walked by his office, I don't know why he said this, but he yelled out, "Hey, Welch, you can overcome sin even in your heart." And, you know, I was like looking around. My friends, they took two steps away from me, right? Like, I don't know. What does he know? What does he know that we don't? Like, he sees so much. And I didn't know why he said that, but I was intrigued by the thought. So I circled back around later, and I said, "Glenn, how do you do that? How do you overcome sin, even in your heart?" He said these words to me. It changed my life. He said, "Miles, Jesus Christ has conquered sin on the cross. Sin has been defeated. Christ is victorious. And you gain access to his victory in the arenas of your life by prayer. And some sins are so deep in you that you have to just keep praying and keep working it out in prayer." And he opened his Bible to the parable of persistent widow, Luke 18. And he read it to me. I'll read it to you. It'll be there at the bottom, the first verse. It'll sound familiar. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time, he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't care, I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me.' And Glenn told me to always pray to never give up." Now listen, some of us, if we had to be honest, some of us have given up on our battle against a sin. We've told ourselves that it's never going to happen, that it's impossible, and we've given up. You know this because it's become a part of your life, and now you just live with it. You're not even trying to fight against it anymore. And it might be one of the heart sins, like anger or lust or fear, or it might be some other kind of sin, like an addiction or a habit that you know God doesn't want you to have. And you've given up on it. Can I tell you something? That sin only became impossible for you to overcome when you gave up. And maybe today would be the day that instead of giving up, maybe today you would begin to rise up. You would begin to remind yourself that when you pray, anything is possible. And there's no sin that's outside of that. Anything means anything. And maybe today you would begin to tell yourself, you never know what God's going to do. Maybe today you need to begin to always pray and never give up, like the persistent widow, until you've overcome that sin. Maybe that's why you're here today, so that you could hear that very thing. The second difficult application is about relationships. Because some relationships seem impossible to mend. You know, in this life, relationships are really easily unraveled. Haven't you noticed that to be true? Relationships fall apart really easily, and they're very difficult to put back together. Very often, you have to overcome guilt and unforgiveness and anger and hurt feelings and trust issues. It can seem impossible. But God wants to do things in your relationships that seem impossible. And you rise up and do those things with prayer. I want to introduce you to a couple, Mark and Karen Tanner, part of our 12-stone family. And I want you to hear their story. It's a 3.5-minute video. I want you to hear their story of how prayer restored themselves and then restored their relationship. Listen in.
I'm Mark Tanner.
And Karen Tanner. It happened on February 12th of 1994. It was Brittany's fourth birthday, so we had been down 78 to a jump zone. A woman ran the stop sign at Hope Hollow that crosses Rosebud and hit us at that time. When I came to, she was just inches from my face. I could tell she wasn't breathing because she was turning gray. I remember screaming up, God help me, you cannot let her die.
It was just numb after I realized it was for real, you know? And I prayed all the way there. I didn't really have a relationship with God or anything, but I was praying the whole way there. And I'm just looking at my whole family, possibly losing everybody.
That was like probably the first time I always tell people that I prayed with no control. I totally could not manipulate the situation or pray in a way that I knew I could change the outcome or influence it or anything. And Krista spent 14 or 15 days in intensive care at Eggleston, and I gave birth to my daughter prematurely about 5 days later. For us after the accident, I really thought, you know, wow, you know, as a family, we've totally been given a second chance. For Mark, it was like I started walking down one path and Mark totally went the other direction.
I'd always drank, but I was drinking a lot, mostly beer, and drinking a lot more. And then with marijuana, was the same way.
When I would want to talk about it, he became very aggressive.
I was an animal to live with. I had just resigned myself to the fact that this is who I am. This is just who I am.
We were at a dinner table one night. I really don't even recall what happened, but he just started screaming and got angry and grabbed his keys, slammed the door, and left. And Krista looked up and said, Mommy, I'm so sorry. What did I do to make Dad leave? And that was it for me. I told him, I'm going to take them. I'll be gone for a couple of hours. But I want you gone. I can't do this anymore.
And I wasn't going to choose a plant, you know, or a bottle over them. And so that night, I gave my life to Jesus in the backyard. I simply said, God, I want to come home. I'm sorry. I love you, and I don't want to do this anymore. Please take me back. The only other thing that I prayed that night, too, was for my health, because of all the things that I had done to my body, I wanted to live long enough to be there for my girls. I knew at that point that I'd made the right decision and that I didn't have to be chained anymore. And that was gone. That date was May 31st, 1998. If anyone ever asks me about marriage advice and they have problems, I tell them not to give up, first of all. And everything is worth fighting for. Think about what you have rather than focus on what you don't have and build on that. And whatever was intended for evil, God can work toward good, not to give up the fight.
Isn't that a good story? That's right. God wants to do things in your relationships that seem impossible. You rise up and you do these things when you pray. Maybe that's why you're here this morning, so you could hear that. Maybe there are relationships in your life that you're giving up on, a marriage, other family member, someone at work, and you've just given up. You've decided that it's never going to get better. It's never going to be what God intended. It's never going to heal. And maybe today, instead of giving up, maybe today you would begin to rise up, remind yourself. When you pray, anything is possible. There's no relationship so broken that God can't fix it. And begin to always pray, never give up. You never know what God is going to do. You never know. Maybe that's why you're here. The third difficult application is about people, because some people seem impossible to reach for Christ. I want to tell you a story. I know of two friends, two guys that grew up together, and they stood next to each other in lines all throughout elementary school, middle school, and high school because they had similar last names, so they just stood next to each other. They became friends, and when they graduated, one went off to college and became a Christian and was challenged to pray for the one person he thought could never be a Christian. He, of course, prayed for that other friend who was an atheist. Within a few months, by the time they met up again, that friend, that atheist, had already become a Christian. I know, because I was that atheist. I'll tell you the story. My name is Miles Welch, and his name is John Wehner. And we stood next to each other in lines in elementary school, in middle school, high school, played soccer together. We were friends. And he went off to UCLA and became a Christian. And was in a Bible study talking about the Apostle Paul. And so they challenged him to pray for your Apostle Paul, the one person that you think could never be a Christian. And he chose me, right? Wasn't that nice of him? And he began to pray for me. Now, I didn't know anything about this, but I became a Christian. And that was in September when he started praying. I became a Christian in December. He came home for Christmas break. I was already a Christian. And he called me up and told me that he had become a Christian and he wanted to talk to me. Now, I didn't know he was praying and he didn't know I was a Christian. So I thought, I'm going to have fun with this because he's going to try to lead me to Jesus and I'm going to make it hard for him. And so we went out to lunch, and he tried to share the gospel with me, and I just, it was not going how he wanted. You know, I just kept bringing up, well, what about evolution, and what about this, and what about that? And I just, oh, man, I made it impossible for him. And he was getting so frustrated, and in the middle of our lunch, I must have got hot because I took my jacket off. And when I took my jacket off, I had this shirt on underneath. Now, I didn't know he was praying for me. And he stopped and said, wait a minute, you're already a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. And then he told me that I was his Apostle Paul and that he had been praying for me as his Apostle Paul. And we just sat there in awe of what God can do. Can I tell you something? That seems impossible, doesn't it? It seems impossible. I don't even know why I wore that shirt. I don't even like it. It was the only Christian shirt I have. I don't remember where I got it from. When you pray, anything is possible. Always pray, never give up. Some of you have Apostle Pauls in your life. Some of you have people that you've given up on. You've thinking it's never going to happen for them. And maybe you're here so that you would begin to pray for them again. Always pray, never give up. God wants to do things in your life that seems impossible. You rise up and you do them with prayer. Now, as we close, I want to ask you a couple questions, help you reflect on what we've learned. What arena of your life have you given up on? Maybe it's marriage or your family. You've just given up believing that it will ever be what God wanted it to be. Maybe it's in your career or your finances, your character, your faith. What arena of your life have you just given up on? And would you be willing to believe that when you pray, anything is possible? Would you begin to pray and never give up? Or maybe what's the one sin that you've been telling yourself is impossible? That's never going to overcome that. Would you commit to pray and never give up until you overcome that sin and you walk in Christ's victory? Or what's the one relationship that is so broken that you feel like it's never going to get right, it's never going to get fixed? Would you commit to pray and never give up until you see that relationship restored? And what's the one person that you think could never become a Christian? Your Apostle Paul. Would you commit to pray for that? Maybe it's a family member, friend, somebody at work. Would you commit to pray for them until you see them in the kingdom? So when you pray, anything is possible. You never know what God is going to do. So always pray, never give up. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these people that are here. God, I pray that you would put this hope and this spirit inside of us. You would remind us that when we pray, anything is possible. God, won't you teach us to always pray and never give up? And God, surely in this room, there are people that are giving up right now on core things in their lives, in their marriages, in their faith, in their character. Oh God, won't you arrest us, turn us around, give us hope. When we pray, anything is possible. Remind us of that today. And surely, Lord, there are those of us who have given up our fight on a sin, who have given up our fight in a relationship, who have given us our fight for someone's soul. Won't you today remind us put it in our hearts to always pray and never give up until we see what you can do. And we're grateful, God. We thank you that you're a God that we can turn to like this. In Jesus' name, amen.